Turn with me, if you would, now to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. Judges 13. A brother read this recently in my study, and this is the story of the birth of a man named Samson. It's the announcement of his birth. And after our brother read this, I was talking to another brother about Samson, about his life, and it made me want to look at it. His account is given right here in Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16. Four chapters. If the Lord is willing, we may, over the course of a few messages, look at his entire story. I would enjoy that if the Lord would have us to do that. If so, as we do, we will see him in light of who he represents. Samson represents Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. His entire story, the entire story of his life, is a picture of who Christ is and what he did for his people. Everything about his life, starting with his birth. Samson's birth was announced, just like Christ's birth was announced. And I want us to make that comparison as we go through this. I just had our brother read for our scripture reading Luke 1, where an angel came and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read through this, I want us to make that comparison. But for tonight's message, ultimately, I want us to enter into our salvation through what the Lord announced to Samson's parents. In this announcement, through this announcement, what he revealed to them is our salvation. What he caused them to realize, it's the same thing he causes all of his people to realize. All of God's people have this revealed to them. So tonight we're really going to look at the announcement and the realization and the result of God's dealings with his parents. And then, if the Lord is willing, next time we'll begin looking at the life of Samson himself. Now, I would think, at least for a little boy, I'm speaking from my own experience here, but I would think that at least for a little boy, Samson would have to be a favorite story of the Old Testament. If you've ever been told anything about Samson, if you ever told the story of Samson, for me, it was a favorite story. And the reason is because of his strength. Oh, this man had strength. When I was a kid, I had him pictured in my mind, and I guess I have ever since. But I'm sure you've seen pictures of these bodybuilders. Mr. Olympia. You know, muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles. He may have looked like that, but a man pointed out that nowhere in his story does it say that he looked like that. You know, Goliath, we recently looked at Goliath. He was 9.5 feet tall. You could look at that man and see his own strength in him. Well, it doesn't say that Samuel was, you know, great in his own self, in his own stature. It just says, this is all it says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That's all it says. He might have looked like anybody else. He might have just looked like an ordinary man. And concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says He had no form or comeliness. There was no beauty in Him that the natural man should desire Him. But you talk about strength. You talk about strength. Well, the Scripture does not tell us what Samson's mother's name was. But his father's name was Manoah. And chapter 13 begins by saying in verse 1, "The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. The evil that they did again, there are some references right there, and if you turn to them and look at them, it'll tell us that the evil that they did again was they worshiped a God that was not the true and living God. That was the evil they did again. They kept falling into that over and over again. That is called idolatry. They gave themselves over to worshiping gods of their imagination. They just, and this is important, I want to really stress this right here. This is what they did that put them in the condition they were in. They made up in their mind who they thought God was. They just made up in their mind who they wanted Him to be. They made up what He was like. They made up things that He had said. And that's the land we're living in today. That's where we are right now. That's where we are all over the world. The natural flesh of every single man and woman on this earth, and I mean every single man and woman on this earth, the natural flesh has not bowed to the true and living God. The flesh does not have any desire to bow to the true and living God. It wants to make up its own God. The God of religion is a made-up God. The God of religion is a made-up God. And that's sad, isn't it? But it's true. The God of religion is a made-up God. They say, men stand up in pulpits and they say, God is like this. And God has said this, when God is not like that, and God has not said that. They say God is trying to do this, when God is not trying to do that. God does not try to do anything. God does not try to do anything. Anytime a man tells you God is trying to do something, well, that's a false God. That's a made up God. That's a made up God. God reigns and God rules and God orders and God controls and God saves whoever He will, whenever He will. This God who is being preached today, who wants to save you but can't if you won't let Him, that is no God at all. That is no God at all. If you're stronger than He is, you're God. That God is just a figment of idolatry. And men and women have given themselves to it. They've just given themselves to it. And unless we are delivered from the bondage of it, we will die in the sin of it. All right, verse 2 begins the "but God" portion of the story. Verse 1 says, this is who you are and this is what you've done, but God. Verse 2 says, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Manoah's wife could not have a child in the condition that she was in. She was barren. And the same thing can be said for a virgin whose name was Mary. In the condition she was in, she could not have a child. And in that we see two things. Number one, we see our emptiness. Our absolute emptiness. With man, it's impossible. It's impossible. There is nothing that comes from within us that is capable of producing life. Nothing. In and of ourselves, there is nothing but death here. All right, therefore, the second thing we see is salvation is of the Lord. Totally of the Lord. Life is a work of God in a person. It's a work that God does. This angel told Manoah's wife, you are barren, but you are going to conceive. Life is going to be produced in you. And Mary asked the angel that came to her, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And that angel said to her, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. God is going to put life in you. You're going to conceive. If God has purposed it, it shall come to pass. And that's the message of the gospel. If God has purposed it, it shall come to pass. The gospel has nothing to do with what I'm going to do for God, but only what He is going to do for me. That's it. Verse 4 says, now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. We will go into the details another time. But in order for a man to be a Nazarite, there were certain things that the law said he had to do and could not do. He could not cut his hair. He could not eat a grape or anything that came from a grape. He couldn't drink wine. He couldn't touch anything that was dead. He had to totally be set apart unto God. The only one that can truly be said about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He was truly holy and harmless and undefiled. Only He was truly set apart unto God. Only He could be the deliverer of His people. He was the only one. Israel here was in bondage because of their sin. But God told this woman, I'm sending you a deliverer. And that's the message of the gospel. What God is going to do for His people. I'm sending you a deliverer. Verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And can we not see Christ in that? He's going to fulfill all things from the womb to the day of his death. Verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Now, in just a moment, we're going to see that this angel is Christ himself. When other angels appeared, they always announced who they were, or the scripture tells who they were. When Gabriel came, he said, I am Gabriel. I just stand in his presence. John on the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John, was bowing before an angel that was sent to him in Revelation. And that angel said, don't do it. Stand up. I'm of your brethren, the prophets. Worship God. This angel said, I am. Moses, you tell them, I am sent you. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That mob tried to come get him and take him. They walked up to him, a whole mob full of men, and they said, Are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he said, I am. And they all fell backward like trees. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen that? 500 men. You know, they're sitting there looking at the sky. He asked them, Now who are you looking for again? I am. When God comes to a sinner, that's what he says. I am. I am. Verse 11. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. What he's saying is, let us offer a sacrifice to you. Let us kill an animal, kill a lamb, and offer a sacrifice to you. Verse 16, And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. He was teaching Manoah, worship God only. Now this was God, but Manoah didn't know that. And he would have been sacrificing to something else in his mind. So he's teaching him, worship God only. Nothing else. No one else. Do not worship the messenger. We thank God for his messengers. I thank God for his messengers. I thank God for the men who preach the gospel to me. But do not worship the messenger. Worship God alone. Alone. That's what God the Father said to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Moses and Elijah. And they were so afraid, they said, Let us make three tabernacles, one to each of you. And God the Father spoke out loud from heaven and said, Nope, my son only. Only my son. Verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? My name is secret. The margin in my Bible says, Wonderful. It's wonderful. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Just wonderful. Full of wonder. Secret. He said it's secret. It must be revealed. It's secret. Man cannot see it. Man cannot hear it. Man cannot know it until God reveals it. We beg Him to reveal it, don't we? God must reveal it. Verse 19 says, So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock. Who is that rock? That rock was Christ. He took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. The angel, Christ Himself, did something wondrous in that sacrifice. And Manoah and his wife looked on as He did it. Verse 20 says, For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. This angel of the Lord entered into the flame and ascended up into glory. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. We've seen God. We're going to surely die. We've seen something holy. We have just witnessed the holiness of God. This is what they saw. They saw God in that sacrifice. Do you know that when men, the flesh naturally sees this man, Jesus Christ, hanging on a cross, they don't see God in that sacrifice. They see weakness. They see defeat. They see a martyr for his cause. They see many things, but they do not see God doing what He will for whom He will. They saw God in that sacrifice. They saw God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. They saw that it took the holy sacrifice of God to appease Himself. Only God could appease Himself. Only God Himself could provide intercession on behalf of His people. Only God could do that. In that sacrifice, they saw His justice. They saw His wrath. And the fear of this holy God struck Manoah. And it is a precious and glorious thing to see when a man or a woman who knows nothing of the true and living God, this holy God, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it is a glorious thing to see when God reveals the secret of who He is. And fear comes over a sinner for the first time because he knows what he's done. And he knows for the first time who he's dealing with. The fear of this holy God struck Manoah, and he said, "We're going to surely die." Have you ever thought that? God's going to kill me for what I've done. We shall surely die because we have seen God. He is going to slay us because of our sin against Him. Never saw that before. But sinners see it now. Once God reveals these things, they see it now. All right, now, I know that women are not permitted by God to preach in the assembly of worship. I know that. But that doesn't mean that women are not permitted to preach in the privacy of their own homes. And in that sacrifice, Manoah saw the truth. He did. I've seen God, and I'm a sinner, and I deserve to die in my sins. In that sacrifice, Manoah saw the truth, but his wife saw the gospel. And she preached the gospel to him as clearly as it's ever been preached before. I don't know if anyone's ever preached the gospel this clearly before. She comforted his heart by declaring to him three things. I just repeat what she said. I declare this to us. She told him three things. Verse 22. Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "No, honey, we shall not surely die." She said, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, number one, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. If God were pleased to kill us, we are sinners. God is angry with sinners." People say, "Oh, you know, God doesn't love the sinner. God doesn't hate the sinner. He just hates the sin." That's not what God said. And in the flesh, naturally, we are sinners in the hands of an angry God. But here's the good news. If God were pleased to kill us, he would not have accepted a sacrifice on our behalf. She said, "Christ entered the fire, honey." Did you see that angel? Did you see what he did? He burned in our place. He stood before God's holy judgment. And God accepted him. Did you see him go up? If God laid our sin on him, then there's no sin left to be laid on us. None. We're not going to die. Verse 23, "But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Number two, neither would he have showed us all these things." He never would have revealed his justice and his holiness and his righteousness in the sacrifice of his son. He would have just killed us. He never would have shown us the way of life to be through the death of his son. And then she said at the end of verse 23, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he never would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." Such wonderful things as these. Such sweet promises of deliverance and redemption. If he were going to kill us, he would have never told us that he was sending a Redeemer. Never. He would have never declared to us that he was going to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He never would have said that to us. He's a God that cannot lie. And he never would have said that. Verse 24 says, And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. His name means sunlight. The woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And if the Lord is willing, we will see what He did, how the Spirit moved on this man, and how He sent deliverance to His people, how He redeemed His people. I'm looking forward to seeing Christ in that man. All right, let's all stand together.